Thank you, sir. So you can understand I'm not that technically great person. Somebody, I was in Las Fresnos and to arbitrage people, and somebody was asking me, you know, you are in San Antonio, and this is my first time in life I'm in San Antonio. So somebody was asking me, did you taste or did you try the Mexican food? And you guess my answer was, I only tried the Mexican food. I don't think I tried anything else. So it's great. It is great to be here. And just quickly, let's start with the Word of God. And if you can open with me from the Second Chronicles. I wouldn't be preaching the sermon because I do understand that's not why I'm here. But I would be just quickly. My understanding is that I have around 40-45 minutes, if I'm not wrong. So, and my English is not that good maybe, but if something that you don't understand, something that is not pretty clear to you or not being conveyed effectively, after that I will be here for chit-chat, and you know, we can you can ask me questions, or if I'll be giving you the time for asking questions too, that would be something I would really appreciate. If you have any questions about me, Pakistan, ministry, family, everything like that, please don't hesitate to ask me. So please take off with me from the Word of Life in Arabic, Kitabul Hayat. You know, we call it Bible Muqaddas in Urdu, in English, Holy Bible. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, about the King Jehoshaphat. It's verse 1 to 10. We'll just do the reading, just a couple of 3-4 points, practical life of a Christian related to the scripture we are reading. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them the Munites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and to you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did not you, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They dwelt in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you for your name and the symbol of your presence in this house, and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. May the word of God be a blessing to all of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just quickly, 3 points. While this morning I was kind of like in a time of meditation, I was just thinking about it. Let's not do the exegesis, let's not do the historical analysis, let's not go into the Judaism theology. Let's just be here in our world and just think, how does it connect to me today? What does that passage mean to me today? And why I'm reading it, and what is it telling to me? I'm somebody who works, I'm somebody who is not a pastor, I'm somebody who might not be considering in a full-time ministry. What does it speaking to me today? That's it. It's speaking to me today is that the battle is not a new thing for us. It's a battle of a disease, or it's a battle of unemployment, or it's a battle of finances, or it's a battle of spiritual issues. This is pretty old thing. Battle is an old thing. People have been facing that in many ways. And we do face that as well. At social level, at personal level, spiritual level, kind of all things are integrated. So battles, if we are going through that, please don't be discouraged because it's not just you. But when you are going through the battles, you are not alone. The boat is there, the storm is there, but Jesus is also there to save you. That's His beauty. Sometimes He does allow that to tell you that you don't find God in the bottom down or in the deep valley. You find God very much into the darkness where He just comes as a light for you. When nobody is there for you, He is there for you. So thanks be to God when He is always there for us, with His loving arms embracing us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were not perfect that time, even not righteous, not to the moment. But He died at that time. Many people think He died for right ones. There was a big evangelistic crusade going on in one of the biggest cities in Pakistan, around 10-11 million people in that city. And the pastor was invited to speak there, and I wasn't there, but somebody told me this, and I know this pastor, and he was telling about all the drug addicts and all the homeless people and all the bad guys and all those kind of people. They were trying to put them off from that meeting, and they were only allowing those people who belong to church, who belong to God and all that. And pastor said, if that is the case, that I'm not going to preach, because Jesus Christ came for everyone. We were sinners as one time, but this is the mercy of God has saved us, and that's why we are here today. Thank God for that, who embraces us in that moment to bring us to the point where we can understand who we are and who is He. And the other thing is this, that if you really look into Jehoshaphat's life, he had a great army. If you read chapter 16, 17, 18, if you go back, he had a wonderful army and he had a wonderful resources available. But instead of looking at his army, he looked to God. That is his first rescue. That is his first shelter. That is his first fortress. And many times in our lives, it happened to me, it happens to all of us, that we have God, we are believers, we do come to church, we do all those things, but when problem comes, when issues comes, when something goes on in our marriages and things like that, and things are not working out at workplaces, in business or something, instead of running towards what we have, we should run towards whom we worship. Because if we don't understand the one whom we worship, we don't know what we are worshipping about. You got to understand the one whom we worship before you understand the worship, what it is. And that's what he's doing. Worship is not just one exercise or night coming out here, having a pizza, going back home. It's the whole lifestyle. You are a living worship. You don't have to sing to worship. You live your worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Some Pentecostals here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the third point, quickly I'm going to go over that. It's a process. You know, it's a process. How many guys you remember they were shooting in Connecticut or in Cincinnati, somewhere there, in a young guy. He just killed so many kids and all that. And Mike Huckabee, the governor, the guy, and he was asked that where was God when these all things were happening. And you know, when he was saying like, you really don't have God in your schools anymore. You don't have really God anymore in your government, really. You have put him somewhere out in the back, and then you are asking him that to protect you while keeping him away. Many people want to be blessed, but they don't want to be connected to the one who is the source of all blessings. Many people want to be joyful even in the times of turmoils or afflictions, but they don't want to be connected to the one who is their ever-present helper. 911 is not your ever-present helper. Your pastor can be busy sometimes somewhere else. But why don't we just kneel down? When I don't know where to go, I go to my knees. So this is not just about pastor, and this is not just about me, and this is not just about other people. This is about all of us. Kneeling down and humbling ourselves, ever-present helper. You have 911, we have 1122 in Pakistan, and I was telling to people, like, they might come in 1 hour maybe, or by then I don't know what would happen, but he is there for you. In control, Almighty, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim, God of God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Hallelujah. So, there is a process involved. The last point, that
we are in problem, we will cry out to him and he will listen to us. Why he is not listening before they are in the problem? Or why he is not listening? They have to cry out in order for him to listen? Or when they don't cry out, he will still listen? Why many Christians are in problem? Because the only time they cry out is when they are in problem. We are proactive in many schedules, but we are not really proactive in our spiritual walk. And I was telling somewhere that Christian life is all about the spiritual experience. You can't really see the spiritual things if our spiritual eyes are not open. We are trying to understand something being in flesh to something that is not in flesh only. So we got to be there. So what we learn from it, if there are battles, everybody is fighting a battle somehow or other. I'm telling you, if people don't tell you or not, there is battle going on in everybody's life. But the difference is this: those who trust in him, his love that endures forever shall never fail them. And if you're trusting him, and if he can come down to save people in Pakistan, the country hugely extremist Muslims, and if he can come down to save those three people being put down into the fire in the book of Daniel, he can come in your situation as well. Just cry out to him and he will listen to us and he will deliver us. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. So that was a little bit of an idea, a word or sharing really. But now I would be going to the presentation, kind of like presentation, but give you an idea where I'm coming from and what we are doing in Pakistan. But can we just speak a word of prayer, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, we were yet sinner and you have saved us. Thank you, really, that I know that I'm not really worthy to be here or even standing here on the pulpit. I don't deserve it, Lord, but thank you for your benevolence and thank you for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here, especially pastor and elders and church leadership and brother Jim and everybody, Lord, really everybody, they came out and they have been praying for me. Some of them are telling me they have been praying for me. Thank you so much for raising these people up, the Jeremiahs, the Moses of the day, that you really, really are interested in not just solving our problems, but in building our characters as well. And just help me, Lord, and just by the power and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, help me not to say what you don't want me to say, and help me to say what you really want me to say, and give me the spirit of wisdom, the truth and revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my name is Khurram, my second name is Yunus, and Yunus is like an Arabic form of Jonah, Prophet Jonah, but thank God my dad was never in the whale. My name is Yunus, and my dad's side, my grandparents from dad's side come from a Sikh religion, and my mom's side come from a Muslim background, from their great-grandparents, but they were born in Christian families. I was born in Christian family. Born in a Christian family don't make you Christian. You know that, Romans 10, 9-10. But coming just to, in a nutshell, like I'll just a little bit talk over when my testimony point comes out. Really, it's all God's glory. But Tree of Life International is the name of the work we are doing in Pakistan. And the Tree of Life thing, I know there's plenty of Tree of Life and organizations in states and or even in Pakistan. But kind of like I didn't know where else Tree of Life is. We were like praying, me and my team, and we like kind of God inspired this word in us. I'm gonna go over with you on these points and the contents, a little bit about Pakistan, and you guys must be familiar through electronic media, print media, what is Pakistan or the culture over there. But I'm gonna go a little deep in that, which media don't show you, because I don't trust media so much, because they would love to show you what they want to show you. Culture of Pakistan. We'll talk about Christians in Pakistan, the birth of TOLI, TOLI's Tree of Life, international vision, goals, objectives, our ministry dimensions, and prayer points and needs.
something you can pray for me and for my country and my family and team and the people who are working there. Pakistan is in South Asia. It's bordering with China, India, Iran and Afghanistan. So we are pretty hard nations bordering with us, coming to China with a lot of communism and India a lot of Hinduism, Buddhism as well, huge in India. And Afghanistan is extreme Islam, Osama bin Laden birthplace. And Iran, and you know, there are more Shiites, Muslims are there, very much huge issues in Muslims. And sometimes they say, why you have so many versions of Bible, like why you have so many sects in the Islam too? So something like that. Capital is Islamabad. That's where most of the embassies are, most of the foreigners are, most of the British Americans people are. 1.1 million, and my language is Urdu. That's my national language. My official language is English. My native language is Punjabi. And there are the 69 local languages. The total population is 180 million. That's kind of like an old census. The new census report is it's 190 plus million people, and it's growing at a very rapid, very radical rate. We have different minority groups in Pakistan, like Christians, Hindus, Sikhs, and really others, Baha'is, and so many other kinds. There is religious freedom in Pakistan, but only in the books, but not in action. Because there is a law, blasphemy law, 295, article ABC, anything against Allah, anything against Muhammad, anything against Quran. And then consequences you know. Pakistan gets its independence in 1947. That's when we became an independent country, but it became Islamic Republic of Pakistan. In 1973, the Constitution of Pakistan was formulated by Z.A. Bhutto, the Prime Minister at that time. And the first point of that Constitution, it says that the Prime Minister and the President of this country, as long as this country lives, only Muslim. No other person from any other religion can be a Prime Minister or President. So kind of like you're talking about a prerogative body, controlling regulatory body is always a Muslim body. Islam is 96%, which is huge. So 96% of 190 million is, I leave the maths to you, 2% Christians and 2% other minority groups. So pretty much 2.5% Christians of 190 million is around millions of Christians. A little bit about our culture, that mosque can hold 100,000 people in one prayer service. So it's pretty big mosque in our city. It's called Badshahi Mosque. It's pretty old. This structure was built Mughal emperors and all that. But above is like a street. So just to give you an idea what the society is about, food. There's a lot of food, things like that, street food. I don't know how much hygienic it is or not, but that's it is. And I would love to take you there if you want, no problem when you come there. There is a huge rich and poor gap in Pakistan, and when we are talking about poverty, we are really talking about in a relative terms. I was talking in the car with Brother Jim, like poverty somewhere else means they have a cheaper car and they have cheaper meals, but they are eating. But poverty somewhere else means the car is they don't have even enough to eat and they are dying because of no food. So this girl, a Pakistani girl, she is driving Porsche, and I don't know who she is, honestly. And kind of like you can see there are rich people. I guessing she's Muslim girl because mostly industries, businesses, entrepreneurship, it is owned by Muslim people. If Christian wants to do, there are so much trouble in that, or either they get killed or they get kidnapped or anything can happen to them really. Or any Christian, they like to compromise their faith and become Muslim. They are happy. They give you so many things becoming Muslim. But they can't give you the eternal life. That is only Jesus Christ. Amen. This baby boy, I don't know, but seems like homeless, eating somewhere from garbage. And the gap is the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. So when missionaries come to Pakistan from America, Scotland, England or other countries, that's where their heart is, that they want to share the love. You know, you just don't have to preach the gospel. You can be the gospel. And seldom use the words. This house is also owned by a Muslim businessman, and there are those babies. She might be thinking, well, how am I going to take care of that baby really now? Or might be her brother, cousin, I don't know. But
just on a walking distance, that house is, and this is like a palace, and I never been inside, but I saw that in physically. So there's a gap, huge gap in the society, and problem is this: there is a gap, there is extreme Islam, there is extreme pressure, then there is a blasphemy law. So people have a lot of fear. Every day is a miracle for them, they are living there. Christians in Pakistan, of course, there are opportunities to evangelize, preach. There are some areas that are not that bad or tough. So hundreds and hundreds of crowds. That brother, 2 days ago I found out he's from San Diego, California. I don't know if he's a pastor or he's evangelist, but he's from America, and look, he's preaching and in front of a huge crowd. So there's a lot of evangelism going on as well. Thank God for that. But there are, again, the laws are there and Christians are protesting. Abolish blasphemy law. This is killing us. And can I be honest with you? Sometimes they use blasphemy law against Muslim. So a Muslim is using that law against a Muslim just because that he's not paying his rent. So he will tore Quran into pieces and he will throw those pieces in front of the door, and next morning he will gather the mob and he say, he is blaspheming. Okay, let's kill him. And then I don't know what they do with that. So it's like a bleak sword hanging on our necks. Churches are being burned. The place where I lived 3-4 years ago, that was attacked by Muslims. I was out doing evangelism with my uncle on a motorbike, and my sister, my younger sister Annie, she's a part of ministry. She called me and she said, brother, I think we are attacked. And they attacked us with guns, with fires. They broke our gates, our church windows, our electric meters outside our houses. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. And they were saying that. It was terrible. I don't know if it's coming to in America or not, but if you ever find yourself in this situation, then you would really know what I'm talking about. It's not something words, it's something experience. Those kids, they are serious about their God, they are serious about their church, they are serious about what they received in Jesus Christ. And they are just sitting on the floor and they are just praying. And but that church, I saw that church actually. There were bomb blasts last year in 2015, I think, in my city. I was preaching 30 minutes away from there, and that was terrible. So, hugely, now our churches are really in great danger, really, because suicide bombers network is really increasing day by day, and we don't know if we are safe even in Amsterdam or even in London, really. So something, church, I would really encourage you, pray. If we cannot do, prayers can do. My testimony, pretty much, I'll just quickly, like, at the age of 12, I confessed my faith, but slowly you understand who Jesus is and how he saved you. So it's a journey, it's not a destination, it's a journey. The destination is himself, running towards the reward. At the age of 15, and then I got an opportunity to go to United Kingdom for 1 year. There was a couple from Ireland. They thought I can preach. I don't know they are right or wrong, but they asked me if you want to go to Bible college, and that's actually where I spent my 1 year in a small Bible college in Northern Ireland. And I got back from UK to Pakistan. That's where my theological pursuit started. That's where it started in me, the desire to study the word more. But because of some financial issues and because of other things, I've been praying for this thing for last 6 years, if God opens the door for me to do my Masters of Divinity. And pretty much in States, or really, so that I can be better equipped and prepared for what I'm doing in Pakistan. But when I graduated in Pakistan with a business degree, it's a university owned by PCA, Foreman Christian College in Pakistan. There are some Americans there, teachers as well. So it's run on donations by the church in America here. And after I graduated, I joined a company. After 1 month, I started receiving death threats on my cell phone. And the guy who was threatening me, he was a Muslim guy, and he was saying that there are only two Christian people. One is cleaning the toilets and one is you. Either you clean the toilets or you lose your life. And you have a choice, be killed by a gun or by a knife. I said, well, if you want to kill me, there shouldn't be a choice, really. That makes things more tough. But that's what happened in my life. That was kind of a turning point, that it was very frightening, to be honest with you. Because you know this person, you know that he knows that where you live, you have a family. What if they do something to me? What if they do something to my family too? Then, and we all love our families, right? If small needle touch our baby, we would go crazy and yell at doctor, do something. But what if something bad happens more in the name of Jesus? How would we respond? Studying abroad, expanded horizon. God saved my life. Nothing happened. I am alive. I went to UK, studied 1 year, went back to my country, and Tree of Life came into being, came into manifestation, from ideology to manifestation. Revelation chapter 22 verse 2, if you have time, you go home, read it. That was the inspiring verse for Tree of Life. Our vision of this ministry is to be the voice of truth, love and hope, and channel of equipping, mobilizing and encouraging church to all and beyond. Though we have started in Pakistan, but if God allows us, we would love to go other areas too. Or India, or Malaysia, or the countries that we are bordering with. But when the God leaves you, then the God is with you. But sometimes He doesn't lead us, and we think He is leading us. But I don't know whether He is with us over there or not, when He's not leading there. Our goals and objectives. So first of all, we are very burdened with the thing that in Pakistan, sadly, even in the presence of persecution, even in the presence of all these things, huge false preaching of the gospel is going on. So you would see the churches, something in America as well, but so you will see the churches filled up and pastor is telling them there is no such thing like devil. There is no such thing like Satan. So why Paul is writing the whole chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, if we don't have any spiritual warfare? If there are no demons? If there are not demonology or things like that? Why in the Bible they are mentioning that? They should have taken it out. It's been so many years, right? So to preach the gospel to the lost, those who are not believers yet, and teach the truth to the saved, and then equip the people by the Holy Spirit to win the souls for His kingdom through every possible opportunity. So we have all sorts of people like Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and really they are funded through America mainly. And they go to these countries and they go and they preach what they believe, but you know, and I know, and we know, this is not the truth. To create such an environment for all people where the love of God reigns, to help people identify their calling, there is a lot of youth in Pakistan, young Christian girls, young Christian guys, and they are confused about their personalities really. And something we call identity crisis, that people go through that, because on one side, they are Christians. On the other side, they are not accepted in society. They are rejected really everywhere. But then they are in the middle and thinking, what is my value? Why am I here then? All these things. And it leads to suicide. One of the members in our team, he was going to suicide. I will talk to him later on. Talk about him later on. He was right standing on the bank of a river to jump in. And he turned his feet and he's working with us now. So praise God. And then to preach out not only through words, by actions. Action speaks louder than words. We all know it goes by like that. In my family, my house is used as a ministry house as well. So we bring in abandoned, persecuted women who are beaten by their husbands, or could be Muslim women too. And we take out things from our room, and my sister Annie and my mom, they both are involved in this woman's side of the ministry. So we bring them in. Sometimes we feed them, if God helps us to do so. And we really kind of encouragement to them, because they are in a society that is not easy to live as a Christian and as a woman. So we have a heart for those people, for those sisters in Christ. And this is, I'm thankful to God for my sister and mother. They are involved in those sort of things. Thank God for that. I'm going to talk on that later on. Our ministry dimensions, all supported by scriptures. So if anybody asks us why you are doing what you are doing, we would love to show them in the Bible why we are doing what we are doing. And preaching the word of God is through Sunday church fellowships. So by God's grace, we have like 4 or 5 church plants by now in different areas of Lahore. But we also have some Christian fellowships outside Lahore. I don't know how many total we have, and I don't really focus much on numbers because it's all for the glory of God. But in Lahore, we have 4 or 5 different church fellowships. By church fellowships, I don't mean building. I mean one house, people gathering there, sharing the word of God, having a little meal, kind of like an Acts, like an early church. We have prayer networks. We strongly depend on prayers. We strongly depend on prayers because there is a lot of black magic, a lot of people who control demons, a lot of people who do voodoo and things like that. There's a lot of that stuff going on. And sadly, Pastor Tim, there are many people who call themselves pastor and they would have a Bible in their hand, but when you go to them to pray for healing, they would take you right bottom in the next room, very deep down in the room, and they would start having a magic on you. Biblical conferences and seminars. So we have a huge fight through spiritual warfare and all that. So we really heavily depend on prayers. And thank you to all those who were praying for me before I came here. So thank you for that. Biblical conferences and seminars. We hugely depend not on the preaching of the word of God, but the teaching of the word of God. Because anybody can be so emotional that they want to love Jesus and accept him as personal savior. But if they are accepting him just on emotions, emotions sometimes can be dodgy too. But if you are accepting him by knowing who he is, then you are a hard force for a devil too. Evangelistic outreaches in city and outside, something I was talking outside Lahore is like 9-10 million people. Outside Lahore, we also have a ministries going on. Though we don't often visit them because it's not easy and there is a transport cost involved and all that, but we do that. Youth meeting sessions on different subjects like apologetics, discipleship, evangelism, missions, homiletics, biblical, theological topics. Now, these are the things which people who are not in ministry, they are students, they are workers, they are laborers, they are something, but we have youth for that. So they're basically, the young people, they really face a lot of challenges by being Christian. So we want to be a help to those and encourage them. And if sometimes people ask you, why do you call Jesus the Son of God? How do you know the Bible is the true word of God? Prove us. Show us. Are you prepared to that? They will show you from Quran that this is true. So I'm not saying we know a lot and we are not Mr. Know-it-all, but we need to be prepared for that too. Church planting and discipleship, focus on one-to-one and group discipleship. We love to work with other churches, with other fellow believers. If they are not agree what we are doing, at least we can also love them in the love of Jesus Christ too. We might not be agree with everything with them. And mobilizing the church and pray for new opportunities. We are just workers. We can't change anyone. Let God grow the seed. But if I have not planted the seed, then it's not going to be growing. It always stucks on that. Maybe it doesn't like our pictures. So that's me. Kind of like just to give you a snapshot, a virtual view of what we do. That's my mother in the yellow suit with the covering, call it dupatta, red orange dupatta. And this is our house. This is one room where we gather these ladies. This lady, this sister in the Lord, she's married 3 times. Now it's the 4th husband. And she was married to a black magician. And that guy was not a good guy. You would really consider him awesome guy. He's nice, he's socializing, but we know. So, and that's me just praying on one of the Bible seminars. This village is predominantly Muslim village. So all of the people would be Muslims in that village. These are a few Christians there. So there was a night fellowship going on. This is 8 o'clock at night. I was preaching there like a Pentecost day. And that is one of our church plants. So this is one area where we're doing. Mostly there are women. Interestingly, there are always women in the church more than men. I don't know. I don't know how true it is in America, but we have more women in the ministry and in the church than men. But Amen. Praise the Lord.
Actually, on that last picture, you were saying something that I thought fascinating, because didn't you say that there's loudspeakers at that?
Yeah. We here, it is a Muslim village, but we are using loudspeakers to preach. So, God can keep things in control if He wants, right? So, thank God for that. Thank you for reminding me. Interesting picture. These are the people in one of the church. So church can be that big too in Pakistan. And these are the people from 4 or 5 different churches. Last year, there were bomb blasts happened at the time of 2 minutes. Doom in one church, doom in second church. You don't want to see that scenario. It was human parts, body parts everywhere. But I was 20 minutes away, and my uncle passed that church like 15 minutes ago. He was going to preach in another church we worked with. And these people, they wouldn't love to have a cup of tea even with other people. Those pastors, they had so much animosity in their heart that they wouldn't really have a cup of tea together. Because we don't agree with you. Those explosions happened, and the church understood, in the pursuit of truth, we might not be perfect, but we can be together in the unity of spirit.
Those people, they didn't like to see each other. They are sitting together and worshipping the Lord.
The other picture with my uncle.
I don't know. I'm not trying to impress you guys, but I just don't like to talk much of myself. So I'm kind of like ignoring, right?
Impressing you, right?
That's my uncle. That's me. You know, that was a mistake to have a tie. It was too hot. I don't know why I'm wearing that tie, really. But this is one of the church plant, and this is one of the family. That family is actually used to go to Muslim people for their healing. That family used to go to Muslim people for their knowledge. That kind of, I don't know how to say in English, but there is so much in spirit world goes on. But by God's grace, they have been baptized and there is a church there. This brother, he was about to marry a Muslim woman who was married, and that was a trap because she would file a case of sexual harassment against him, and that's his whole family will be blasphemy law. So we knew that, but he doesn't know that, because love is blind, right? This guy, he was on drugs, he was in all sorts of bad things, and we kind of like, it took time, really, it took like 2-3 years, it took time, kind of like discipling him, kind of like being there. Sometimes when you just tell people right in the face, they don't like to talk to you. Sometimes you have, really, it's like a ministry of patience, but the ministry of persistence too. And that's all it is. And by God's grace, he is married now with a born-again Christian lady in Pakistan, and I was there in their marriage. So thank God for that. So he's saved, he's married, he's enjoying his life. Well, there are always ups and downs, but he's in the Lord. And I'm not married yet, so I don't know the bumper roads. this is one of the villages. This is not the church plant. This is not our church plant, but this is one of the places we like to visit. So these are all the ladies, and those guys over there, some older guys, they are like 70s, 60s, 80s or something. These people, these people are not Christian people. And when you ask them, everybody say, I'm Christian. But they are not Christian. They don't even know who Jesus is. And they would do all sorts of things that are not Christian. So our heart is really for these people, and by God's grace, in future, we are planning to start a church plant there.
But by God's grace and help, as the Lord leads. We also work in slum areas.
We have a little small church in a slum area also, just to reach that community. People who are outside slum areas, they don't go much inside. People who are in slum areas, they go much outside. So somebody has to go. Has to do, right? No choice. Thank God. So this is the outside view and this is the inside view of the church. So there are 2 brothers we have,
Brother Yaqub, in English James, so Brother James, and Brother Parvez. And there are some brothers, I will show you the pictures, the people we are working with, and they are working there. And thank God for them.
So this is the educational side of what we do. As I said, we just don't have Sunday fellowships. We also try to arrange biblical seminars, Bible discussions, just to keep our, you know, people on the toes. You know, sometimes we get too easy Christians. That also my mom and dad, these are the brothers. Now, this is our first Tree of Life leadership conference. We don't have any church building, we don't have a church in that sense, but this is the church we rented from one of my pastor friend in Pakistan to pay him the rent. And these people, they are all not pastors. They are teachers, they are people from politics, they are people from other areas of life, but they are there and they are learning from the Word of God, because the Word of God is not just for the church. The Word of God is for every area of life. It is the complete code of life. So these are the sisters in Christ, and this lady, she's becoming D pharmacist. She's doing her D pharmacy. So thank God for that, that we have some people good in education, good in things. And but what does that education mean if it's just an education and no Jesus is there with you? So this is just a degree, good for his salary, but not in heaven, right? That's my uncle, our partner, then brother in Christ. This is the guy who was going to do suicide. His name is Faris. He was standing in front of BRB canal. BRB is very deep canal coming from all the way from India to Pakistan. He was just about to jump in, but right now he's here. Thank God. This is Brother Nasir, and this is me, and these are other people. These are some family people. So really encouraging everybody to, because we are all valuable in the eyes of God. We might not be here on the pulpit, but we are all valuable in the eyes of God. Amen? Yeah. This is another church plant in a Muslim area. They are not Muslim, but there are some few people Muslims. Last year, we baptized a Muslim couple by God's grace. That couple was in a love marriage, so they had an issue by Muslims from different tribes. And I did not put their picture up here, sorry about that, but you can understand. But by God's grace, somehow they came to our church, and after a year or so, they are baptized now. So thank God. This is another training going on. Some sisters in Christ, and who is this? I think it's me. Yeah, it's me. So we are doing. Anybody of you heard of John Stott? Anybody of you heard of Christopher Wright? John Stott is with the Lord, but now the director is Christopher Wright in place of John Stott. Christopher Wright was in Pakistan, and he was giving teaching on expository preaching. So this was some kind of training going on. So we always love our people to take to those trainings. If we are doing great, if somebody is doing great, so kind of like a united, we stand divided people kind of thing. Some group discussions are going on. This man, he is the father of Brother Faris, the guy who was going to do the suicide. This man, he was in the jail for 10 years by Muslim people. For 10 years. For no reason. Because of his faith. And he has a lot of land property. They didn't give him even a penny, and they snatched all the land and they threw him in the jail. But by God's grace, he is serving the Lord. This is another pastor, Ezekiel. This is another brother, his brother Harun, in English Aaron. So these are the people who would be, we are a part of, you know, but they are different in as an organization, but we are all a part of the body of Christ. Up top on me, as a sister in Christ, we have some women leaders in different areas as well, and this is the baptism thing. I didn't have the pictures of baptism with me here. I think I forgot at home, or I don't know. But this is where we were baptizing. And these were the people we were baptizing. This man, he was practicing black magic for 30 years, for 3 decades. His name is Baba Kala. Baba Kala, Baba is old man, Kala means black. Black old man, but I don't know, he's wearing white shirt. So this man, he was practicing black magic, and his life was really in a mess. So he would really, when you are praying, he would really stand up and the demons would speak to him through him. And we saw that. But the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4:4. So thank God, God has given us the victory and he's been baptized now. So
thank God for that. That's my family. That's my younger brother Adnan. You look at me, so you're thinking his family is not handsome, but you look at him, he's still handsome, right? So, praise the Lord for him. I'll tell his story too. That's my mom and dad. They're sitting on the roof, enjoying the sunshine. This is our roof. We sleep on the roofs because we don't have AC, so some, you know, natural AC. And this is Annie. This is my youngest. We are three. Youngest is sister. She's 24. She did her undergrad degree in education. She's praying and planning to do her master's, so we'll see how it goes. Adnan was through spine surgery in 2014. Adnan here now, he's 26, 27, but he was 24 years old and he had to go through spine surgery. It was another tough time in our family's life. And God surprised us, right? These are our prayer points. We asked for God's discernment protection. Please do pray. We are praying for a motor van to reach to unreached areas as well. I put the cost there, but pretty much that's what you can pray about so that we can go. Sometimes women are with us and we have to travel, so it's not easy. And then we are seeking for registration of our organization or house registration, because our house is in the part of a plan which they want to demolish the houses. So if they demolish the houses, we'll be homeless. But this is something, please do pray for us. Pray for the monthly support to carry on the work we are doing, and pray that challenges we have from local church to share be removed. Pray for the church family work and serving in Pakistan. Letter and question answer. I think there's no time for letter, but I'll take questions for 2 minutes, that's it. Because I'm already over the time, and sorry about that.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
When you go to build a business, do they have a questionnaire that says, are you Muslim or Christian? How do they know you're a Christian?
Well, first, by name.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, there is a portion religion.
Okay.
There is a, during the process of registration of business, now they have introduced something, there's a portion called religion.
Okay.
You have to fill it out.
Yeah.
So either you write non-Muslim. First, you have to write non-Muslim only. They would understand. But now they want you to be more specific. It's Christian.
And so if you put Christian on there, then you're basically...
If you put Christian, you wouldn't be having a problem until the time they want to make a problem for you. So it is always under danger whenever they want. So mostly people, they are fine, but some people would really compromise on many things with Muslim people. They would start doing things which are not Christian, but they are okay with Muslim faith. So they are okay with that. But some people whom they look at, he's a Christian, and he's a Christian, they have a problem with that. Yeah. So
basically, it's a second class step being Christian.
Yes, sir, maybe third class.
Yeah.
Because even I'm a business graduate, I'm jobless. I'm full time, just live on faith. And looking at that standard, I lost three jobs. My dad lost two jobs just because of faith. It's not we were doing bad in jobs, it's just because I was threatened to death in two jobs. And my dad's life was not safe. So,
pretty much,
yeah.
Right,
like
now,
that.
In this country, if you get thrown north, then what?
It might not be that rapid, but it's coming soon. You know, you heard a few years ago, British Airways, there was an air hostess girl, and she was wearing cross, and she was thrown out of the job. So, if it's happening in Britain, and then they made one Muslim man a London mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sadiq Khan, who is from Pakistan, but I don't know what's going to happen in America if America is not careful. So...
Do you want to say some, that when you chit-chat, catch up with them, I just want to say a real brief word about Jeremy Tribe and thank you for it all.
That's okay, no problem. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to me. And thank you, Pastor, I apologize for going a little over.